Hey, how are you doing, hon?
I'm okay. I'm tired. Hot, and a little moody, to be honest.
Hot, tired, and grumpy. Yeah. oh joy.
Please forgive my grumpy moodiness
today. Okay, we will.
On that note, I just like to give everybody like permission to have a moody, grumpy day.
Fair warning. I think everyone should have. If you're feeling moody and grumpy, there's nothing worse than trying to cover it up, really.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like fake smiling and all of that. No.
I'm really glad we brought this up right at the beginning because I don't know about podcasts. And I don't feel very like chipper. And
yeah. let's get it out there. I've got to say, I apologize in advance. We were about to interview William Shaw, the author, today, but he's in Cornwall with, and anyone who knows England, Cornwall is a wild and rugged county, and is still using the penny farthing as transport.
It's the Wild West of England.
It is the Wild West of England, literally. And his Wi-Fi signal is really poor, so we can't talk to him today, but we're going to talk to him when he comes back from Cornwall. But the lovely thing about you was that you Googled.
I wanted to follow him on Twitter and find him, to look him up, to know more about him for the interview. And I got William Shaw, and I'm like, okay, William Shaw, and it's what, the Cathedral Within, and I'm like, no, this can't be, this is like some self-help book, I don't know what this is. And then and you showed me him.
Yeah.
Shaw.
Shaw.
William Shaw.
Okay, so, but can I just, so this is a very Yank and Lime thing, but I don't know anyone who has a surname spelt S-H-O-R-E, which is the beach shore. If your surname is Shaw, it's S-H-A-W.
Wait, say Shaw.
Okay, so William Shaw.
And say seashore.
I'm going to the beach shore.
Say the two next to each other.
William Shaw is at the beach shore.
Sure.
Well, it's a sort of slight intonation. I'm not sure at all. I know. So it's hilarious, isn't it? I love the fact that you were Googling Shaw. Yeah. I mean, it's very... Yeah. I mean,
because America, it would be Shaw.
Oh, really?
Shaw and Shore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obs.
Yeah, I'm gonna draw a veil over that one. So we will speak to William when he comes back from his holidays in Cornwall. He was going to Tate St Ives, which is the most extraordinary art museum in Cornwall. Absolutely beautiful. So I hope you had a good time there, William. And we will speak to you when you come home. What else has been happening? Let's have a think. The Trump. Dare we talk about the Trump?
Do we have to?
No, not really. We don't have to.
Let's not.
Let's not go there. Let's just pretend we did,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, let's...
Okay, so how
skip
many,
on over that
okay,
one.
How many days to the postal vote?
I think it's 75 days.
Have you got your ballot yet?
No. Usually it gets emailed to me, and I print it up and send it in. And I'm pretty sure I should be receiving it within another month. It shouldn't be. It's usually, I think, comes in September.
Right.
So, yeah, and I am a little nervous if it's going to arrive, to be honest.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure.
The damage has been done to the Postal Service. That being said, there's the Democratic convention happening this week on the internet because they can't meet in person.
Okay.
And Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm.
She sang yesterday. And I was like, yes,
what did
go
she,
Billie.
What did she sing? Do we know?
The song called My Future.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, she's just...
She's cool,
she's
right?
She's so cool.
Isn't she?
She's my favorite, like,
I love
millennial
her.
Singer.
Yeah. She's really good,
talented,
isn't she?
Talented, yeah. Smart, and yeah. Doesn't really care what other people think. And I think that's why I like her.
Mm-hmm. That, fair enough. Yeah. I'm up for that. Because you are feeling grumpy and a bit out of sorts, I made you, by request, right, some comfort food for you. Tell us what your comfort food ideal was.
Salmon cakes.
Yeah.
Salmon cakes.
Salmon fish
cakes,
right.
Oh, my God,
right.
They were so good.
They are good, aren't
they? And, oh, they were so good. Thank you so much for that. It really was that sort of comforting...
Pleasure. I think it's to do with mashed potatoes, really. I think pretty much anything that's got mashed potatoes in it is comfort food, right?
It's true.
You know,
it's
so,
really true.
Yeah. So I steamed some salmon and flaked it and put in lots and lots of parsley and a very finely chopped spring onion and butter and lots of pepper and salt and moulded them into cakes and then fried them in olive oil, and we had them with peas and mint and a kind of sauce vierge, which I made with olive oil and mint and coriander and basil and chili, and it was really good.
Is everybody hungry now?
Yeah.
I guess you guys are hungry now because, they were so good.
Yeah, they were good, weren't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm slightly, more than slightly, actually, incredibly fed up about? Is the new law in Mallorca about smoking.
And on terraces or anywhere in public, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of really pisses me off. A, I do smoke, and I do love a cigarette at the end of a meal, and the joy of going out here is sitting, you know, in a summer evening, on the terraces, or wherever you are. If you follow the argument about exhaled smoke containing droplets of possible COVID, well, then you'd have to ban talking. You know, it's exactly the same thing. And it feels also, I really dislike the banning of anything. Even if I, like, for instance, I've got to be honest with you here, I loathe cyclists, right? But I don't want them banned because I don't want anything banned. It's too authoritarian, it's too totalitarian, it's just not, it goes against the grain with me. So I just find all these laws, you know, the face mask, which I understand why we're doing it, but, you know, come on, let's just chill out a bit now, I think,
I mean, so in so many ways smokers have always, you know, for a long time now been secondhand citizens in that sense. In California, you can't smoke within 20 feet of any business with an open door, open window. And some towns it's 75 feet.
Oh, good grief.
And yeah, if you go, I think the last time I was in California, like, basically people look at you like you're a criminal if you smoke. Yeah, because I used to smoke and I remember, you know, going back there and rolling my little organic American spirit cigarette. And I actually remember being somewhere and I overheard some young girls going, "Oh my God, did you see her? She was smoking."
Really?
And I was like, oh God.
Oh my God.
What have I missed? Because I had been in Costa Rica for several years.
And this is the country where you can go and buy a gun. You know what I mean?
In California.
It makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, listen, I guess it's, I don't know. I just don't care. I don't have any money to go out anyway. And so I'm like, well.
Let's talk.
And you kind of want to be socially distanced anyway.
Like, I know. It's just tough, isn't it? I want to talk something about really quite repulsive, really, I think. But I have noticed that because it's so hot, right? And I have to go, I mean, twice a day I go out here. And wearing a face mask for probably half an hour, 45 minutes at a time. My skin, my face, my facial is so bad.
It's facial season,
right?
Isn't it?
It's the God.
Humidity too. There's something about the humidity.
Yeah, but it's
just
also a face mask, right?
Yeah.
It's so sweaty. It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Chrissy brought me around a white clay face mask, which I will be doing regularly from now. I mean, is yours bad? Mine is really bad.
My skin has been terrible lately, and I have done this mask twice this week, and I'll do it again. And it does feel better. And I've also I cut a big thing of aloe, and I keep it in the refrigerator, and I put it on before I go to bed at night.
Oh, really?
This really helps. This has really been helping.
Ugh.
But yeah, I think it's just the sweatiness and you know, if you're on any dusty road or anywhere, which is kind of everywhere, I do find that because I'm washing my hands so much now, I'm also washing my face a lot more. I've got, you know, I got some nice face wash. Every time I'm in the bathroom washing my hands, I wash my face a lot more than I did as well.
I just find it really difficult. It's, you know, I get up in the morning, have a shower, put some moisturiser on, take Kitty out. By the time I come home, the moisturizer has sort of slid.
Yeah, it goes off.
Off my face.
Yeah.
And it's stinging my eyes because it's sort of gone into my eyes. I'm covered in a salty, sweaty sheen. And I have to do my face. It's just like,
I take a lot of cold showers during the day. And I still have, this like bottle of, I think it's rose and lavender water that I keep in the refrigerator. And I spray, I mist myself when I come
back. That's a good idea.
And it smells good and you just perks you up and refreshes you a little bit.
I really like that idea.
It's really a good year for self-care, I think, in general. And those extra facials that you can give yourself. I made a coffee, turmeric, aloe, honey face scrub last week.
Good?
It was good, yeah. It was really good. I sort of just looked up ingredients online of how to make a home face mask before I had this white clay ones, and because I was desperate. And I just was like, well, I've got that, and that. So I threw them together, and I've got my essential oils. So I put a little bit of rose and lavender and chamomile in there. And I left it on for about half an hour, and then I washed it off. And it does. It just feels so good.
And anything that smells good makes you feel good, doesn't
it? I've been
it?
Doing a lot of pedicures this year as well. I just noticed I'm doing, like, a lot of...
self-care.
How can I make myself feel better right now?
Yeah. Well, usually my idea of making myself better... is to lie down on the sofa under a fan and watch some really crap TV or read a good book. So that's my kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Talking of books, can I tell you about the book?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, so it's very strange. I think I haven't been feeling great this week. And when I'm not feeling great, I either want something really quite highbrow and challenging to read that you can absolutely, you have to concentrate on so much that you get into another world, really. Or you want a real easy page turner.
Yeah.
Right? So I went for the brand new book. It's called Flight by Julie Clark. I think I read it in one sitting because you just can't put it down. It's like you have to find out what happens, and it's a really great easy read.
Okay, book doctor, tell me.
Yeah, so Claire and Eva lead very different lives, but they've one thing in common. They are both in huge danger and need to disappear. A chance encounter, or is it, at the airport presents the two men with a simple but crazy solution: switch places, then drop off the grid wherever they land. But one woman will never reach her destination. It's very, very clever.
What airport?
Oh.
Can you tell me that?
Yeah, JFK.
Okay.
So, and I've always found this very interesting. So these two women who don't... I'm not going to spoil anything, but these two women have this sort of chance encounter. They both need to disappear. They both don't want to go where they're going because they think they'll be found out. So they've checked through, right? And they just swap...
identity.
Tickets. Yeah. Oh. Clever. Boarding passes, right? So it's just really clever. Mm. So one of them was going to Puerto Rico, and one of them was going, I think, to Chicago. And they both swap, but... one of the plane crashes.
Oh my God.
I know. So it's really interesting. And one of the women lives a completely double life that you have no idea about. And the other woman is in a really abusive marriage to kind of a politician, a bit like the Kennedy family, where they wouldn't believe that he was abused. You know what I mean? It was like, no. This is the golden son of the, you know... of this family. So it's a really easy read. It's really gripping and it keeps your interest all the way through. So if you're feeling a bit down and you don't want anything too brain stretching,
which summer reads I think is good. Yeah.
Some, you know, sometimes I do like to be really challenged by something I read. But this one is not a challenge. It's just an easy read, and there are twists and turns, and there was one bit that I was thinking, no, that's the, I didn't see that coming. You know what I mean? It's like,
good.
It's like that. So it's kind of like a twisty, convoluted plot-driven book. And it's really good. Yeah, I thoroughly recommend it. That's Flight by Julie Clark. Yeah, really good.
American writer?
Yeah, American writer. Yeah, it's just one of those interesting reads that you think, ooh, I did not see that happening, you know?
I kind of feel, and I know, you know, we live in Mallorca, so it's kind of like, you know, we get to go on vacation at 5 o'clock to the beach, whatever, when we're done with our day or the weekends. So we sort of have our vacation when we want it. But I kind of feel like I would like to have a week of a book or two like that.
So would I.
Phone turned off. News turned off.
Lying by a pool.
Yeah. Or a beach or a pool or, and
a few cocktails arriving now and again.
Some good wine, of course. Cava. Yeah. Right now, I'm really on the cava.
Okay.
Because it's low in alcohol. Ooh, it's bubbly and perky.
I want that beer thing.
Oh, your michelada.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you like micheladas.
I do. Why is it? Well, I don't know why it's funny, but...
I don't know. You just... I would never have guessed you as a michelada.
I really loved it. We've got to have one this week.
For you guys who don't know what a michelada is...
Tell us what it is.
It's...
do the Mexican one.
The Mexican one is a big glass of ice with about an inch of lemon juice and salt around the rim and a cold beer. Tabasco... I think
Worcestershire. Yeah, for sure.
I think that there's a lot of different recipes.
Spice mixes in it, right?
In Costa Rica, it's just the lemon juice, the beer, the salt, and the ice.
Oh, no, it's got to be spicy. It's kind of like a tomato-less, vodka-less Bloody Mary. That's why I love it.
It kind of is like
it's like the spicy, refreshing, really clean tasting.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I could drink one right now. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that would be great. No, that we've got to have them next week.
Let's do that next week.
Let's do that next week for sure.
It is really nice on these hot summer days.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And really good.
For me, I like beer every once in a while, but it fills me up so much that I can only drink... I can't even drink a whole beer usually, just a little
bit. I'm not really a
beer
drinker.
But that kind of waters it down and makes it...
Just really refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That would be so good.
You know
good.
What sounds good with that is ceviche.
Oh, yeah.
That
a
ceviche
good ceviche.
And guacamole.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to have that next week. Let's do that next week for sure. That's going to be your next week's comfort food.
I like it. I like it. Listen, unfortunately, I've only got a really nice white wine for you today.
Oh, no. But that's a shame.
Take a quick break.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I'll come back and tell you about
it. He gave permission to use that language against his wife, his daughters, women in his community. And I am here to stand up to say that is not acceptable. I will not allow people to change and create hatred in our hearts. That is not acceptable.
Not acceptable.
Not acceptable at all.
No.
Hey, do you know what? Honestly, really well done you for that. Every time I hear it, I think, oh my God, that's... Christy did that. It's incredible. Well done.
Thank you. I really wanted to go viral, but I don't know how to make something go viral. Like, I know. You just can't control it.
No. I think it just has to be picked up by someone, doesn't it?
I wonder if there's like a method to making stuff go viral.
An algorithm, I'm sure.
Oh, data.
Yeah.
We don't know enough about data.
No, I really don't. I'm not sure that I want to.
We don't steal your data. We don't use it. We don't share it.
Yeah.
We don't even know what it is, really.
Also, wouldn't know how to. But doesn't it make you laugh? I tell you what makes me laugh. You know this thing about... track and trace, and Bill Gates is building something into your phone that da, 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 da. Well, frankly, people who are concerned about their data being stolen, it's all on your phone.
I know. Right? And those are the people who are like saying it on social media, like, your data is being stolen by this app. I'm like, you're saying this on Facebook.
I know.
Like, really?
Right? So surely there is nothing on your phone that can't be taken out by someone who wants to get... I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous, isn't it?
It is ridiculous. And why would somebody put a chip in you when they have when you have a phone on you?
I have no idea.
Freely share all your ideas. The world is going mad with the age of information.
I know.
And you've seen it slowly sort of evolve since about, well, the year 2000, I guess, when, you know, or was it 90s? I don't know, when email started.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The QAnon people.
Oh.
It's like a, it's a huge
explain that what that is in case anyone doesn't know.
So, and I don't know if I have it 100% right, but QAnon is a publication,
mm-hmm.
and they call it an alt-right publication, but it's not, it's kind of goes beyond alt-right. It's conspiracy theories, like the believers of QAnon basically believe that Trump is like the God, the only one who can save the world.
The Messiah,
From, because there's this huge like scam that children trafficking, they're stealing their organs and then they're keeping them as sex slaves and selling them on black markets. And the only person who can save them and is going to save them is Donald Trump. And people are really buying into this. Now, they've noticed the trend where the people who listen to these YouTube channels and, and videos are, you know, then they start to target people who also believe in like natural remedies. So if you believe in natural remedies, say chamomile tea or lavender oil, which I'm all for herbalism, but then you might be then an anti-vaxxer, and then you can convince an anti-vaxxer that these people are doing such and such, and then they will start to believe everything. And I don't understand why people can't think for themselves, like, how is this brainwashing happening? Like, is there subliminal messaging happening?
Shall I tell you what I think it is? I think it's a lot to do with a lot of people need to believe in something. And religion really is dead. Certainly in my world. And I think people still have that primitive need to believe in something. And I think that fulfills their...
I don't know if I agree with you on that. I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but I think what it is more from... I think that they need something to blame, not to believe. I think...
Maybe a combination of both?
Yeah, I think they need to... Well, and actually the same could be said for people who are, like, diehard religious. I think they need someone else to blame for... They need a god to blame for whatever else is going on. They need to put everything out of their hands so that they can not be at fault for and not have to take responsibility for themselves.
Oh, for sure. That's a classic.
And I'm not
it?
Saying that religion is all bad. I think it's fine for a lot of people. It gives them, you know, some good neighborly advice to be nice people. And
I don't know. I think religion causes a huge amount of wars and
definitely
intolerance.
Historically,
and,
yes.
You know, so I personally don't have any
extremism,
belief in it.
Isn't it?
Not necessarily, I think. Mm. You know, I don't know. But maybe we'll draw a veil over this. You shouldn't perhaps talk about politics and religion at a dinner
cult
table, certainly.
QAnon
but,
conspiracy
you know,
theory.
It's just too weird. But I'd like to talk to you about a few buzzwords that have been going around at the moment.
Okay, good.
And the most useless professions, because it really makes me laugh. Because some of them are, so for instance, some of the serious ones, apparently one of the most despised professions at the moment, always used to be estate agents.
Real estate agents.
Real estate agents,
aren't
right?
Aren't they still?
Well, they are. Property managers, real estate agents. But journalists have now topped the poll as well.
People hate journalists.
Well, because, this is my theory on it, because we don't pay for our news anymore, journalism isn't considered an honourable profession, and in fact, you know, a lot of the best papers in England now have either gone bankrupt or gone bust because no one's paying for it. So therefore, no one's investing in investigative reporting anymore.
Investigative reporting is so important.
You started off in England anyway at local level.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the poor journalists who used to sit in every very boring council meeting and report things. But that was important. That's gone. And it's gone in the top level papers as well. So we're left with a lot of fake news and copy and paste, and there's no news stories. And the papers that are doing it are not thriving because no one's buying papers. No one's paying for their news.
No, you know? I think that any sort of veteran investigative journalists from 30, 40 years ago in that time are now just being followed on Instagram and Facebook or Twitter, and you just follow them rather than whoever they're working for. I know there are good investigative journalisms. It's still happening, but maybe they need to define the words and define the professions. You're a copywriter. You're not a journalist. Yeah. You're a, you know, and I don't know. You probably know
better than
I do.
And there's not a lot of editing going on, and it's very worrying. There's not enough checks going on in journalists.
Full stop.
Yeah, period. Yeah. And the other thing that makes me laugh is this list of kind of useless job professions.
Useless job professions.
So, dog psychic.
Dog psychic.
Right? I mean,
Pet psychic.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I mean, the reason why is if you can't understand your pet, then you shouldn't have one.
No, I agree.
Like, I know when my dog is telling me he loves me, and I know when he's telling me he's hungry, and I know when he's telling me I don't want to
do that.
Sit down or whatever it is. I mean, come on.
I know, it's fantastic. But what are some of the others, though, that was on that list?
What was it? Professional snuggler.
Oh, yeah.
No, apparently it's kind of, obviously with COVID,
right?
It's probably not a thing anymore.
No.
But people were doing
They were.
Professional snuggler.
I don't think I could do that.
It's kind of sad that it becomes a profession.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have to cuddle my dog if I want a cuddle, but I don't think I'd pay someone to snuggle.
No.
That's not right, is it?
I don't know. I don't.
And also, some of the other useless professions, you know, professional declutterer. So you get someone round your house and they declutter it for
organizer.
You. Yeah, that strikes me as being ridiculous.
I can see
ridiculous.
Hiring somebody to help you organize, but to actually make a profession
out of
it.
I'm sorry, I can't even go along with that. No. If you cannot do it for yourself, there's something seriously
wrong
with you.
Get a friend over.
Yeah.
Tell her to say, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that.
Get rid of that. Yeah, completely.
Oh, my God.
And what was the other one? Personal growth coach.
Is it like a life coach?
Accountability coach. Now, there are there are people in, you know, Beverly Hills making a fortune by being an accountability coach. So, for instance, if you don't turn up at your training session, you get a phone call from your personal accountability coach saying, why weren't you here at 8:30 this morning? What were you doing? That's not good enough. I need you to come. I mean, or, you know, why didn't you go to your daughter's
That's like a professional
meeting?
Nagger.
Yeah. Now, I think I'd be quite good at that. I'd like that as a job, really.
Let's set up a little, you know.
Yeah.
I think you'd be good as an advice coach.
I would so.
Advice
I'd love
from Laura.
That. Yeah, that would be good. I mean, thinking about some of the jobs you had when you were younger, I mean, my very first Saturday job, we used to call it when you were like 14 and you got a job on a Saturday, you know, was at the local greengrocers. And I was really, really bad at it. So we'd have like very tiny little old women come in and ask for one potato, two eggs and a carrot. Well, we sold eggs in sixes, in a box of six. So for me to work out mentally how much two eggs were was impossible. And then to weigh one potato on a scale and work out how much. So I used to say things like, oh, let's call it 30p or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I think I personally, you know, I mean, I undercharged all the time. And I was really bad. And then my other job, my first job, sort of like a summer holiday job, was a receptionist at a very swanky architect in London. And they were expecting a cheque from the royal family of Saudi Arabia, which they'd just built a hospital for. And it was like £1.5 million. This is before the days of internet banking.
Right.
Or, right, so it was a check. And I shredded it by mistake, obviously. So it was...
Fired.
Oh my God.
I know.
So it was really... I was really hopeless, actually, at practically everything I did. In those early days of getting a job, you know?
I think typing is sort of like a thing that, you know, I was raised to, like, you have to learn how to type. You want to get a job
typewriter.
Yeah. And I remember learning how to type on a program called Mavis Beacon when I was 10 years old. And now I'm like, huh,
yeah.
What good is it?
You know? My mother told me, never, ever learn to type. Because you will always just be a secretary.
Oh, God.
So, you know, then, of course, you know, computers arrived and everyone had to type. So that didn't particularly work out terribly well.
Well, autocorrect. Hello.
Yeah, I know. But I do remember those days where you're not old enough, I don't think, but when you had to type something and you had to put, and you needed a copy of it, you had carbon paper.
Yeah.
So, like, you had two sheets of paper and one sheet of carbon.
Right.
So I always put the carbon round back to front, and it was just like, it was a nightmare. And Tippex.
Do you remember whiteout?
Yeah, it was Tippex. Yeah,
okay,
right.
Yeah.
So all of that. So, yeah, practically every job I ever had as a young woman was absolutely useless. I was really bad at.
I'm just pretty much bad at working for anybody else. And that's not true. I'm such a people pleaser that I'm... But I personally can't handle it. But I said...
It's difficult.
I would say the useless job, but it made people happy. It was a gift wrapper. I was a gift wrapper.
Oh.
At a hardware store. And I had to wrap, like, rakes and huge power tools. And the most weirdest shaped...
No. So my worst job ever... was a gift wrapper, Christmas seasonal gift wrapper in Harrods. Right, I don't know if you know what Harrods is.
Tell me.
Oh, useless. So Harrods is like the swankiest, richest, wealthiest department store in London you could possibly imagine.
Right.
It's the shop that closes down to the public so the royal family can go and shop in it, right? So in the gift wrap department, which is a huge room with this massive table, so you all sat around this table, and there was a kind of hatch one end of the wall where a present came through with a gift tag, and you had to wrap it, put the gift tag on it, and put it down the other end of that hatch, right? So I walked in and choked because everyone was smoking dope.
Really? Right,
so yeah, so
in Harrods.
So I mean, this is like early 70s, I guess. So I was stoned after half an hour just being there, just breathing the air. And then this thing arrived for me to gift wrap, and it was a large circular silver cocktail tray, which was wider than the sheets of wrapping paper. So I was stoned, and I'm cack-handed anyway with things like that, and I just stared at it for like half an hour thinking, well, this is impossible, you know, and passed it on to the next person. And about half an hour later it came back to me because we just passed it around the table. So it passed around the table about 9 times because everyone was too stoned to work out how you could gift wrap this.
This is hilarious.
It was so bad. I can't tell you. I lasted 2.5 days.
Wow.
I know, it was really bad. And then I was moved to Santa's Grotto.
What is that?
Well, it's where very, very, very posh people spend a lot of money taking their child to go and sit on Father Christmas's lap.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this sort of beautifully decorated grotto, and there's little elves running around, and there's this big jolly old man who's usually drunk.
Yeah, we have them.
Right?
Yeah,
but this is very, very posh, right? And one of the children was called, I'll never forget it, Sabrina Willow, her name was. And I took her up to Santa, and she sat on Santa's lap, and he said, have you been a good little girl? What would you like for Christmas? And she said, I want a pony, and I don't believe you're Santa, so fuck off.
Oh, my God.
And I burst into hysterical laughter and was fired again. So I lasted 2.5 days in the wrapping department and I think about half a day in Santa's grotto. So really not good.
I'm glad you became a writer and an author. You're a good author. You're a good writer.
It was very funny.
You
gotta
find what's right for you in life.
I know.
That's hilarious.
What wine are we drinking, Christy?
Before we go into the wine, I have to tell you my favorite buzzword.
Oh, what's your buzzword?
COVIDiot. Hashtag COVIDiot.
Good buzzword.
I saw it and then I like overlooked it and then I've seen it a few more times. I'm like,
I like it.
COVIDiot.
Yeah. It's like Trump's Kavofifi. It's a good word, right?
It is a good word.
Yeah.
So the wine. Let's talk about this beautiful wine.
Yeah, very nice.
Very light yellow in color.
Uh-huh.
How would you describe that color? You're good at describing
colors. Oh, sort of pale straw, really, isn't it?
It is a pale straw.
Yeah.
I'm going to post a photo of it because as we brought it out of the cold fridge and it started to bleed, it just looks so beautiful. Now, this is from Conde de Sayurat in La Colonia. Thank you, Fabrice. I'm really liking his wine and his winemaking. This is Muscatel, which is Muscat, some people call it. It's a very perfumey grape. And when you smell this wine, it's got a big nose. You really have a lot. And you kind of think, oh, it's going to be sweet. But when you taste it, it's dry.
It's not sweet at all.
It's refreshing. Yeah, it's not.
It smells a little bit like honeydew melon.
Good, yeah.
You know, it's that sort of perfumey, fruity, you know?
And flowers. You got like a lot of white flower, I want to say elderflower.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And then when you taste it, like, it's really got a lot of taste to it. It kind of just sort of lingers. It's not, you know, it's not a heavy wine. It's light enough. But you get Meyer's lemon, honeysuckle.
Oh, honeysuckle.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Honeysuckle, Meyer's lemon, juicy blood oranges.
Ooh.
White roses, and like a bit of neroli. Do you know what neroli
is?
Yes,
orange oil.
A little bit of lemon zest, saffron, and wait for it, sea salt.
Ooh,
yeah, you got this like Mallorcan mineral feeling to this wine, which makes perfect sense because it's the grapes are grown right there on the coast. Next to the sea, under the mountains.
Gosh, that vineyard was gorgeous, wasn't it?
It's a gorgeous vineyard. It's a gorgeous wine, and I feel like this would be really good with pretty much anything vegetarian. I think I don't know why, for some reason, seasonal vegetables I like to pair with flowers.
Also, do you know what I can imagine drinking this with? I can imagine drinking this with oysters.
Ooh, oysters.
I really can.
Ooh, nice. I can do it. Yeah. I can see that too.
Yeah. Be nicer.
It's also just a 5 o'clock wine, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a 5 o'clock oysters and lobster wine.
I love we've now got the terminology of a 5 o'clock wine.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's such a good thing.
They're pretty much my favorite wines.
I love it.
I think, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's nice. And I think, you know, Muscatel's grown worldwide, and the ones from here, it's like you can really, like, I feel like I would know that if you put this next to another Muscatel from another part of the world, that
you'd
I would
be able to tell.
That's the Mallorcan one.
Well, it's a gorgeous wine. Also, I really want to do a blind wine taste with you. Okay, so
we've got to do
In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to select a few wines and keep them here, and I'm going to wrap tin foil around
the bottles
so you can't see what it is, and I think perhaps we should do a video of you doing it. Do you think?
Okay,
because that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Let's do it.
Let's do that. That'd be so much fun.
That is
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's a good idea. I like blind tasting.
Yeah.
It's just one of those nerdy wine things that I like to do. And now when I go to a friend's house for dinner, I'm like, no, don't tell me what the wine is. Don't let me look at it. Just pour something for me and let me smell and try to taste it. It's like my own personal sommelier challenge.
I know. I love it. It very similar kind of thing is that we used to, in Brighton, I belonged to the Beach Hut Writers, which is a sort of loose writing collective group. And we used to have these sort of, you know, Christmas dinners or summer picnics or, you know, pub drinks now and again. And what we would do is we would get someone who would be like the quiz master, and they would read out a paragraph of a book, and we had to kind of guess.
I want to do that to you.
Yeah.
I want to do that to you.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's fun,
you give me
right?
blind tasting.
You do the wine. I'll to give you the blind wine tasting.
And
right?
I give you the blind book reading.
Yeah. The problem is, though, isn't it? I think, I'm sure that there's so many books, right? So it has to be something, I guess, that you would say is widely read. Because otherwise,
dare to say
if
that there's
it's an
as many
thing,
as many yeah. wines as there
oh,
are
do you
books.
Think? Do you think?
Yeah.
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 Maybe.
And every
yeah.
book is
no,
a different
actually,
genre.
Actually, do you know what?
Every
I'm going to say no to that
you
because
agree?
Yeah, because there are six. So I'm just talking about the UK. I'm not talking about America. I'm not talking about Europe. In the UK, there are 600 books published a day.
Uh huh.
Now, that's a huge... And I'm not talking about textbooks. Mm-hmm. I'm talking novels.
Mm-hmm.
That's a ridiculous amount of books.
Right.
So, if you... If
you know, there's some very obscure wines out there, too, to be fair.
Yeah, but there's not 600 wines a day.
Oh,
new, not 600 new wines every day. No, there's not.
There
no.
might be.
I don't think so. I really don't. Let's Google this and find
That's
out.
That's a good one.
But I think there are far more many books than there are wine.
All right.
But let's have a go. Let's
yeah.
have a go at it.
Yeah, that's
yeah for sure.
Go. Let's definitely have a go. Quick break. Be right back.
Yeah, sure. Hi, welcome back. Thanks for listening, guys. We've got a great author interview next week. My mate from Brighton, the very beautiful and rather gorgeous Kate Harrison, who is probably best known for two things, really. She was the original 5-2 diets guru.
Oh, interesting.
Really interesting.
People rave about that.
Yeah. She also wrote YA books, which is young adult books. And Soul Beach is probably her most famous one. And it's kind of like Facebook for dead people.
Ooh.
Right? It's really intriguing and it's a great book. So we'll be talking to her and hopefully we'll be having a beer cocktail.
That sounds interesting.
It sounds good, right?
That you said that, it just made me think that on my Facebook list of friends, sometimes I've gone through and I'm like, that person's dead, that person's dead, that person's dead. And every year it's like, wow, I've got like seven friends that are still on Facebook and they're not
it's
alive
funny,
anymore.
Funny you should mention that. Something happened yesterday and I thought, oh, I must tell Johnny Fox about this because he'd find it really fun. Oh, he's no longer with us. And I think, and it's very strange. I think if you do the search on Facebook for a friend of yours who has died, if their stuff is still there, it's kind of
it's really
odd,
weird.
Right?
Yeah, my uncle, I loved Uncle Sweetie, my best uncle.
Yeah,
he's still on Facebook, and it's kind of endearing because he's family. So when his birthday comes, everybody's still
really
wishing him a
happy birthday. Right.
Yeah, so I kind of like that. But then I've got a lot of other friends that I didn't know terribly well. I'm like, and it's just weird to think, and I wasn't around when they died.
Yeah.
That's something. But I'm looking forward to that author. The 5-2 diet is interesting because I see a lot of people, I'm on a lot of different Facebook groups, and I see a lot of women always asking about tips for weight loss.
Right.
And
Well, she's your woman.
The thing is everybody has to find their own thing, but everybody that I know who's tried any type of intermittent fasting, it's worked for.
Yeah.
It works for me, and there's a lot of other things that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I lost, 18 kilos last year?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was cutting out dairy, and so I had to work a long time, but it really is that intermittent fasting that sort of just keeps it in check, and it's actually such an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I'm just gonna not say anything now, because I get too hangry.
You get hangry. Oh, buzzword. Good buzzword.
I get really hangry. No, if there's nothing worse. Feeling hungry for me, I want to stab someone in the eye with a sharp stick or myself.
Yeah.
I can't bear it. No.
I don't get hangry, but I get stupid. When I get hungry, I can't really think clearly.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't do 5-2. When I do the intermittent fasting, I do 8 hours. I eat within eight
hours. Yeah, but that's called going to sleep. You know what I mean?
No, you have 16 hours of not eating.
Ugh. I can't even engage with this.
Okay.
No, can't
Let's talk with Kate next week.
Yeah, talk to Kate. Yeah, she'll sort us out.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening.
Cheers, hon.
Cheers.
See you soon.
Have a nice 5 o'clock wine today.
Hi, guys. Just want to say thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. You people are the reason we continue doing this, and we love you. And Christy, how could everyone support us?
Yes, thank you, everybody. The way that you guys can best support us is by liking, subscribing, reviewing, and sharing. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on CastBox, iHeartRadio, etc. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, The Yank and the Limey, where if you want to interact, questions, comments, feedback, please feel free to message us.
We love a bit of feedback, don't we?
We love feedback and we love questions, especially interesting ones.
And you know the best thing about the podcast? It's all free.
It's free.
So you don't have to pay anything. Please subscribe.
Thanks, guys.